Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
We are excited to have Steve Baggett here with us. Steve preaches for the Walnut Street Church of Christ in Dixon, Tennessee. Steve and his wife Pam have two sons, Jason, who lives in Dixon, and then Matt, who's married to Becca. They live in Cookeville, and Steve wanted me to be sure to let you know that they do have one grandson named Lane. So you grandparents will understand all about that. They've been at Walnut Street for 10.5 years. Before that, Steve preached for the church in Franklin, Kentucky. And as I've gotten to know Steve over the last few years with ministers' luncheons and workshops, I've not only been impressed with his knowledge, but also with his heart for ministry. He's been someone who has given me great advice and counsel, and I have several friends that are members at Walnut Street or grew up at Walnut Street, and just to see the difference that that congregation is making in their lives and the way God is using that congregation is very exciting. And so we're glad to have Steve here with us to be leading our minds in worship and in class and in our afternoon worship service. And so before Steve preaches to us, Taylor will read Scripture, and then Steve will speak to us.
I'll be reading John 15:10-14. John 15:10-14. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that may joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do as I command you.
Thank you for the privilege of being with you as a part of your Friends Day today. And for those of you who live in this community and are visiting with this congregation perhaps for the first time, let me thank you for being a part of this service today. You have honored those who invited you to come and be with them by your presence today. And it's certainly an honor for me to be with you as well. I'm grateful to the elders of this good church for the opportunity to speak on this special day here at the Graymere congregation. I bring you greetings from the Walnut Street Church in Dixon, your sister congregation. Walnut Street loves Graymere, and we rejoice with you in the wonderful things that are happening. And we pray that God will continue to work through you in this community, doing great things on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be able to spend a little bit more time with Andrew today. And I rejoice with you in having Andrew as your pulpit minister. I know you're thankful for him. And I hope that you'll continue to encourage him, hold up his hands as he preaches God's word to you on a regular basis, and as God works through him with this good church. There's an old Hebrew proverb which says, a faithful friend is a strong defense. And he that hath found such a one hath found a treasure. Those of you who have very dear special friends know the wonderful treasure that God has given you in that friendship. But you know, you have to choose your friends carefully, because sometimes they can, as we sometimes say today, throw you under the bus in a loving kind of way. There's a story told about a husband and wife who were both doctors. One was a doctor of theology, the other was a doctor of medicine. And there was a lady who worked for them in their house on a regular basis, and when the doorbell would ring, she would go to the door, and usually the person would say, I need to see the doctor, and she would always ask, do you want to see the one who preaches or the one who practices? And so, you know, you have to choose your friends carefully, don't you? One of the deepest hungers of our heart is for real friends. We long for and we look for friendships with understanding, with love, with unwavering loyalty, and which are unclouded by doubt. We long for relationships that are just sure. and steadfast, relationships upon which we can count, upon which we can lean. I'm here to tell you this morning that that hunger is filled by our greatest friend of all, Jesus the Christ. And there are a lot of wonderful friends we have in this world, and for those we're thankful. But no friend comes close to the friendship we have in Christ. A study of the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will help us to understand that Jesus is concerned about us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be the friend of people of all ages. During His life on this earth, Jesus had some very dear friends, close friends like Peter and James and John. He also had those friendship relationships with the rest of those apostles, with Andrew and with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and so many others. Jesus was a friend to all of these people. This morning we're going to center our thoughts, obviously from God's Word, but we're going to be using the words of that great song we sang together just a moment ago, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We'll notice those particular verses and see what the Bible has to say about Jesus, our special friend. The first verse of that song we sang together a moment ago says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." That wonderful verse emphasizes to us that as our friend, Jesus pardons and purifies. The word pardon means to excuse or to absolve from the consequence of crime. That's what Jesus does for us. He demonstrated His friendship by offering pardon and purification to all people. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Hebrew writer says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste of death for everyone." You see, folks, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was necessary because of our sins. Paul tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he tells us in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. And so the fact that you and I have sinned demands that we experience death, separation from God. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said, "God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." You see, without the death of Jesus at Calvary, we could never be reconciled to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, Paul wrote, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." So Jesus has done His part for our pardon and our purification. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter writes that, speaking of Christ, who himself bore our sins on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. But folks, friendship is a two-way street. Whether it's a friendship you have with a person at work, or one of your family members, or just someone with whom you associate on a regular basis, friendship is a two-way street, and so is pardon for our sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So everyone who, through a faith response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, accepts and obeys the commands of Jesus for pardon, those people enjoy the blessings of forgiveness. In John chapter 15, verse 14, which we read just a moment ago together in our worship, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do as I command you." Only those who accept the benefits of Jesus' death by doing His will can receive the pardon He offers. So the test of our friendship to Christ is our obedience to His commands. It is as He said, "If you do as I command you." The rejection of pardon results in no blessings. Perhaps you have heard the story of a man in 1829 named George Wilson in Pennsylvania who was sentenced to be hanged by a United States court for robbing the mail and for murder. President Andrew Jackson pardoned Wilson, but amazingly, Wilson rejected the pardon and insisted that it was no pardon unless he accepted it. That was a point of law that had never before been considered, and so the president called upon the Supreme Court of the United States to decide the matter. Chief Justice John Marshall gave the following decision: "It is hardly supposed that one under the sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon. But if it is refused, it is no pardon." And thus George Wilson was hanged. Folks, provisionally, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, is for everyone. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died for all people. And so provisionally, His death is for all. It's for everyone, regardless of what they may be, what they have done, or anything else. But the benefits of that death on Calvary's cross are applied only to those who believe that Jesus is the Christ and who obey His commands. That pardon, that forgiveness, which Jesus, our greatest friend, extends to us, brings freedom from the guilt and consequences of sin. Jesus, as our greatest friend, offers us this pardon and this purification. The second verse of that wonderful song says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." The second verse emphasizes, not only does Jesus pardon and purify, but He promises and He performs. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, when Paul was writing to the Christians who were in Rome, he said, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced..." Hear it, church. "Being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able to perform." You know, human friends often make promises that are not kept. Sometimes they will forget that they made such a promise. And we all forget things from time to time. Someone at Walnut Street mentioned to me a few days ago, he said, "You know, Steve, the older I get, the more trouble I'm having remembering things. And I said, well, you know, I don't remember if I'm having trouble or not. We do have a tendency to forget. Sometimes friends will make a promise and then they will change their mind, or something more important will come along, or they may, for whatever reason, simply choose not to do what they told you they would do. One man on one occasion told about another promising to bring him some material that he needed for an upcoming project. 4 years later, he had not yet received the material. Mates will promise before God and a great crowd of witnesses on the day of their wedding to be faithful until death do us part. And in our culture today, so many people are choosing not to honor that promise. I have great news. Jesus always keeps His promises, and He is able to perform everything He has promised. Our Lord has promised us a way of escape from temptation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has taken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Sometimes when confronted with temptation, we have a tendency to think, I'm not strong enough to withstand. I can't do this. Well, the truth is, you can't. But God can. And God promises, through the power of the gospel, to provide a way of escape for every temptation that is placed before us. And He has the power to fulfill that promise. Our Lord has promised us salvation from sin. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." If you are a Christian today, when you, as a result of your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repented of your sins and obeyed the gospel by being baptized for the remission of those sins, you were, as Paul said in Colossians 1:13, delivered from the power of darkness and transferred or translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Today, you are a member of God's church because that's what God promised. He made that promise to adopt you into His family, and when you obeyed His gospel, He did. Our Lord promises us strength when we falter. We're living in a difficult age. About that, there is no doubt. Temptations confront us on every hand. And sometimes we may falter in our faithful walk with the Lord. But in Matthew chapter 14, verses 29 through 31, we have the promise of Jesus that He will be there with us to provide strength when we falter. The Bible says, in Jesus' conversation to Peter, as Jesus came walking to His friends upon the water, and Peter realized who He was and said, "Lord, if it's You, allow me to come to You on the water." So Peter started walking on the water. And the Bible tells us that once he got out there, it's almost like he thought, "Oh my, what am I doing out here?" And he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused upon the water, and he began to sink. But verses 29 and 30 of Matthew 14, Jesus said to Peter, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him. Jesus is there to stretch out His hand and catch us when we falter. He promised at the conclusion of His great commission, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's a promise that not only Jesus made, it's a promise that He has the power to perform. Jesus promised us victory over death. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul said, "And we know all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to His promise." It doesn't matter what happens to you in life. It doesn't matter how difficult life may be, how bad life may be, even if life takes your life from you and you die, if you are in Christ, Jesus will take all of those bad things in life and will somehow bless us if we remain faithful to Him. He has the power to do that. So you see, Jesus lifts our burdens. He strengthens us. He shares our sorrows and solves our problems. What a friend we have in Jesus. He pardons and purifies. He promises and performs. That third verse of this wonderful song says, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." Jesus not only pardons and purifies and promises and performs, friends, Jesus provides and protects. He can make a way when there seems to be no way. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He provides us with all the expectations of a great friend. He's loyal. In Luke 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." He's loyal to His promise to pardon. Even on the cross of those who had crucified Him, He remained loyal by praying that God would somehow forgive them. He loves. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born of adversity." We don't have time this morning, but you could read Luke the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32, that story of the prodigal son. And one of the great lessons in that story is that the father loved at all times. Jesus promises to care. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, He invites us to come to Him, all you who are burdened. He said, "And I will give you rest." He promises to produce and provide our daily needs. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33. As we said a moment ago, earthly friends may vacillate. Sometimes they will forsake us when we need them the most. Sometimes friends in life are much like an umbrella. They're Johnny on the spot when the sun is shining, but when it rains, you couldn't find them if your life depended on it. Jesus is not a fair-weather friend. He's always here. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, the Hebrew writer said, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Ours is, without a doubt, a danger-filled world. What a blessing to know that Jesus protects us from the very snare of the devil himself. When John was writing that first of three letters that we find near the end of our Old Testament, he wrote a lot about the relationship we have with Jesus and how our relationship is affected by the kind of lives that we live. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, John said, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." How grateful we are today to know that we have a Savior, Jesus the Christ, who will always be there for us. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, in John's account of the gospel, hear the words of our Lord. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus has a grip that no one else can open. No one has the ability to snatch you away from the devil. In verse 30, he said, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You may choose to walk away from Jesus the friend. You may choose to turn your back on Him. But no one else can take you away from the Lord. He is always there for you. The ultimate tragedy in life is to not have Jesus as your friend. He stands ready to be your friend whenever you seek Him. Jesus the Christ is our sufficient Savior. He is our resplendent Redeemer. He is our meek Master, and He is our loving Lord. What a remarkable friend we have in Jesus. The story is told, and I regret to tell you, I don't remember where I first heard this story. But the story is told of a fourth grader who came from school one afternoon with his shirt torn. There was straw in his hair, grass on his clothes. He had a bleeding nose and a knot above his eye. When he walked into the house that afternoon, his mother frantically asked him, "What happened?" And he said to his mother, "Jackie said something really bad about me." Well, the mother said, "Well, what did he say to you, son?" And the little boy began to cry and to sob. And he said, "Jackie said that you're not my mother, and that Dad is not my father." And then he said, as he sniffled through his tears, he said, "And if he says it again, I'll whip him again too." She hugged her little son, patted him on the head, told him to go upstairs and clean up. She'd fix his favorite meal for dinner. A few minutes later, her husband came home from work and said, "You need to go talk to our son." And he did. He went upstairs, and the little boy told him the very same story he'd told his mother. Dad hugged him, told him how much he loved him, and said, "We'll talk at dinner." When he came down for the dinner table, his father said, "Your mother and I need to talk to you. Many years ago, you were adopted." The little boy began to cry and to sob. He said, "You mean you're not my mom and you're not my dad?" And he said, "No, listen to me, son. Of all those children who were in that home where we found you, of all the children who were there, we chose you. We loved you before you even knew us. You are chosen. You are ours." Friends, I'm grateful to tell you today that because I'm a Christian, I too have been adopted. I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been chosen by the Creator of the world to be His Son because I obeyed His gospel and became faithful to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this blessing is available to me because Jesus, my friend, loved me before I ever loved Him. And that same Jesus wants to be your friend today. And if you will obey Him, you will have a friend for eternity. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter had preached that powerful sermon about the Christ, and he was building to the climax of his sermon, and he said that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When those people were convinced that they had in fact killed the Son of God, they stopped him right in his tracks in his sermon and they said, "Tell us what to do." And in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Jesus saved them because they obeyed His gospel message. He will save you today if you will obey Him. This morning as I was driving from Dixon to Walnut Street, I prayed for you. I prayed that if it be your need to respond to the Lord's invitation today to be baptized into Christ, that you'd have the courage and the faith to do that. And I prayed if you have wandered away from the Lord and you're not faithful to His church, that you'd have the courage to respond to the gospel invitation today to become a Christian. And I prayed if you are in need of the kind of friendship that only Jesus can supply, that you will give your heart and life to Him in faithful obedience to His gospel message. As we sing this song that has been selected today, we're going to continue praying for you and encouraging you to accept the friendship of Jesus the Christ. Will you do that right now? Will you come to Jesus as we stand and sing to encourage you?